All right, welcome to season two of MEC Connect. This is Matthew Yaling. I'm joined again with Patty Reinecke. In season two of MEC Connect, we are going to tackle migratory claims.
Thank you, Matt. This is Patty Reinecke. So I'm actually looking forward to this season of the MEC podcast. Migratory claims are my favorite. They're the just the intricate challenges that we see, and I'm excited to share all the stories that we have and how MEC can make a difference in these claims. Now I'll turn it over to you.
All right, and we're joined today by Sherry Murray, one of our regional claims managers here at Midwest Employers Casualty. So we're going to jump right in, Sherry. When we say migratory claims, what do we mean? What is a migratory claim?
Thanks, Matt. So when I think of the word migrate, the first thing that comes to my mind are birds flying south for the winter. And that's what a migratory claim does. It heads south, but it's usually not for very good reasons. Migratory claims generally all start off with a very simple injury like a strain, and you can insert whatever body part you choose, and most commonly it's the back. But you may even see fractures or burns become a migratory claim. But instead of those claims being defined by a set recovery period, it just never ends. One diagnosis leads to another diagnosis, and before you know it, it's been 5, 10, 15 years since the injury occurred, and the current condition doesn't even remotely resemble the original injury.
Thank you, Sherry. If you were to put claims that you see at Midwest Employers Casualty into like different types of buckets, if you will, what would be the most common type of claim on the migratory side of the excess world? And then can you add some other kinds of scenarios you see kind of over and over here at MEC?
Sure. And as far as common types of injuries, yes and no. After 29 years in workers' comp, I'm not really convinced that there's one type of injury that defines a migratory claim, because there's so many factors that can change the trajectory of the most simple injury. If I had to pick one, though, I'd say that injuries that are most common involve the spine, and usually that's the neck or the low back. So here's a simple example. Say you have someone who lifts something heavy, or maybe they're in a company vehicle accident, and they sustain a neck injury or a back strain. Usually they'll go through a course of conservative care, but then things just don't improve. 4 to 6 weeks will go by, and the back strain migrates, if you will, into failed back syndrome, or they are diagnosed with degenerative disc disease, which all of us have. It's just aging in the spine. You'll see requests for injections and then stronger opioid pain medications. 3 more months go by, and that hasn't improved things. You'll see 3 more months pass, and they'll say, let's do surgery or multiple surgeries. You'll see claims turn into complex regional pain syndrome. I think we'll talk about that later this season. Complex fractures can also not heal properly. They'll migrate into, you know, multiple surgeries or extensive physical therapy. Surgeries themselves can cause infections. You'll have long healing periods for things that go wrong in surgery. But all of these things, again, add up and continue on, and they never seem to get better.
Yeah, I would agree. No two claims are ever exactly the same. There's a lot of commonalities, obviously. And as an excess carrier, we see the worst of the worst claims, the claims that, like you mentioned, they're open 5, 10, 15 years or even longer in some instances. There's a lot of challenges that those claims present. Maybe can you highlight a couple of the biggest challenges that a migratory claim presents with?
Yeah, so to me, as challenging as the medical component can be to these claims, I think there's two other issues that come into play, and that's lost time from work and the psychological impact that goes hand in hand with that. Think about it. Your injured worker can't go back to work. It's easy for them to become very disconnected from their employment while they're trying to recover. The longer someone's out, the harder it is for them to come back. If the restrictions can't be accommodated, they're thinking, what happens next? You'll start to see anxiety and depression creep in then. And if that comes up at a doctor visit, guess what? There's another prescription that's issued. And I know those, I just said two things, but obviously I think the other biggest challenge in a migratory claim is the prescription component. And you'll see folks get addicted to pain medications, and one medication leads to another medication, and those can even impact their personal health conditions they may already have, and it just muddies the waters.
I agree. I know when we're dealing with our excess migratory claims, you know, a lot of times we see things and we think the truth is just stranger than fiction. You can't make these things up. And a lot of times their complications come along. And like you were saying, we end up with this huge prescription regimen where they start off on an opioid pain medication that causes constipation. And then you have your depression and anxiety, a little muscle relaxant anti-inflammatory for that degenerative disc disease that we mentioned. So it does become a very complicated regimen that comes on to go along with all the psychosocial issues that you mentioned. So can you talk about some ways that MEC is able to impact these types of claims, you know, just seeing these more complicated claims over time, and some of the resources that Midwest has put together to help with the complicated legal and medical side of things?
Sure. MEC has a full-scale team of experts to help our insureds and their TPAs tackle these migratory claims. As I mentioned at the beginning, you know, these can be 5, 10, 15-year-old claims with hundreds of thousands of dollars spent by the time we see them. All of our regional analysts are partnered with a medical management consultant and a claims attorney. They specifically address the kinds of issues that come up in these migratory claims. We want to work with our insureds and their TPAs to take a deep dive into the claimant's current treatment. Is that related and appropriate? Or are they overpaying for things even? We want to address prescription complexities and cost. And then ultimately, if it makes sense, we want to settle the claim. And the best part of that settlement piece is all of our MMCs are MSA certified. We can complete our pre-MSA product evaluation at no additional cost to the claim. And our MMCs are really good. They go in and they ferret out these potential areas for cost savings before you have to go and spend real dollars on a formal MSA that may go stale or out of date before you can actually get that case settled. So if we have this pre-MSA completed, we can use that as a working number to negotiate settlement. And then when everybody's in agreement, then we can go forward with that formal MSA. So we're all here to help with that. You know, anytime we can, that's what we're here to do.
I agree. I think the difference the medical management consultants make here at Midwest is the fact that they do deal with Medicare almost every day. So that does give them a very unique perspective when it comes to kind of figuring out what the exposure to protect Medicare's interest will be on these very complicated settlements.
Yeah, and I mean, we're just beginning to scratch the surface on what constitutes a migratory claim. And we're going to have future episodes of the MEC Connect podcast, and we're going to interview other MEC folks and other experts in the field. And we're going to touch base on some of the things that Sherry's mentioned with regards to CRPS, in regards to different diagnoses of migratory types of claims. You know, failed back syndrome, PTSD, CRIPS or RSD, you hear it often referred to. So we're going to tackle some of those in the future episodes. Sherry, I know we gave you a heads up on this, and we always want to connect with folks, and we want to hear, as an MEC employee, if you can give us an example, how you connected to make a difference in someone's life.
I think getting out and meeting the insureds and meeting with our TPAs and helping them with one claim, having one success with them, will make all the difference in the world. And it has made all the difference in the world, because the next time, if you do that, and the next time your phone rings and they want our help on something, it makes you know that the work you're doing has helped them, and it helps us all in solving these complex claims.
Great. Well, thank you today for joining us, Sherry. We at MEC Connect aim to make a difference and a positive difference in your life. I hope that MEC Connect podcast has done that. Please stay tuned for future episodes of MEC Connect.